live from New York City, it's The Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, and I'd like to welcome you to this program. Today, lots to share. Going to talk about what goes on in your gut, then another reason to like chocolate. In fact, two new reasons to like chocolate. And why melatonin and exercise could be very important if you're over 40. Also, pregnancy generates maternal immune suppressive cells that protect the fetus. One more reason to pay attention to what Mother Nature gave us. Also, we want to take a look today at some important social issues, including the Whole Foods company knowingly engaging in a massive GMO deception. That's according to an undercover video by Organic Spies, and it'll be shared with by Mike Adams. Also today from our environmental segment, TPP, that's the Trans-Pacific Partnership. It is a massive fraud. You might as well have asked La Cosa Nostra, organized crime's top organized crime families, to get together. They couldn't have been as nefarious as what our government and our president and all these other 600 lobbyists for McDonald's and these other corporations put together to really put it to the working class. Not a word about this. Totally silent in the American media. The Democrats, Republicans are not talking about it. Why not? We will. TPP, a quiet coup for the investor class by Hillary Marvis. We'll share that with you today. My guest on today's program was with us once before, and we're going to be inviting her to share her insights because she was a part of a major lawsuit that was brought, along with Chris Hedges, I might mention, and some others, to stop President Obama from going through with Section 1021 of the National Defense Authorization Act, the NDAA, which authorizes the military to detain any U.S. citizen indefinitely, strip them of all due process, hold them in military facilities, including in offshore penal colonies. Well, initially, there was a win when U.S. District Judge Catherine Forrest said, no, we're going to put a temporary injunction on this. But then it was reversed in the appeals court by a judge who reinstated indefinite detention, at least for now. So we're going to go behind the scenes and show you what this is really about, who are the characters, why you should be concerned, and we'll have a special guest on in a little bit on that topic. As you see, we have an awful lot to cover. Let's begin. People are not aware that they actually have a second brain of sorts in the intestinal tract. The intestine has to process virtually all the nutrients that go into our body. It has to filter the water to keep the bacteria or parasites out of the system. It also has an incredible job it does. After your cells have broken down and the dead cells have been exfoliated and sent out through mitosis, and the byproducts of metabolism and cellular debris are removed, vis-a-vis the kidneys and the liver, and detoxed out, then the body has to take the food we eat, separate it from the debris that's ahead of it, so that the toxins from this dead debris and dead bacteria don't come back into the bloodstream. That's what your gut does. And that's why about 60% of your entire immune system is around the gut. Hence, the healthier your intestine, the healthier your immune system. And that's why virtually all the reasonable detoxification protocols start with juicing and cleansing and raw foods and probiotics to clean up the intestine. The cleaner your intestine, the more frequent and healthy your movements, the less disease you're going to have overall. This is the latest, and this is from the peer-reviewed journal Nature. quote, we have identified patients with type 2 diabetes, in fact, have an imbalance in their gut bacteria. This is from a professor, Pedersen, of the University of Copenhagen, the senior researcher on the project. Quote, in other words, they appear to have an excess of harmful or bad bacteria types, and on the other hand, they suffer from a lack of healthy, promoting good bacteria types. So what they found was that when you are eating the wrong foods, you create a bad bacteria. And this is the most respected scientific journal in the world. It took them all these decades to come to what every holistic nurse, physician, chiropractor, massage therapist, natural hygienist, dietitian already knows. Clean up the diet, you clean up the gut. Refortify the diet with healthy bacteria, you build up even a stronger immune response. Now, there's even a more basic way to understand this. Every single food and beverage that you put into your body will either be constructive or destructive to varying degrees on a scale. So if you took in clean water, that's constructive. If you took on polluted water, that's destructive. Coffee is actually a diuretic, and it removes electrolytes that are important to the body, like selenium, and it also removes water, so it's a negative, even though it's a liquid. And a lot of people get most of their liquid from either soft drinks or coffee or combination of the two. And then when they do drink water, it's generally out of a tap, which has a full spectrum of over 200 different pollutants that are common to the average municipal water supply, including Giardia lamblia, histolytic artemisia, industrial solvents, turbidity, fluoride, lead, other heavy metals, and now nanomedicines in small amounts of chemotherapy and psychiatric meds and statin drugs, etc. So always use a water filter. Now, on the other hand, when you eat a hamburger in a bun with all that salt, very destructive. You're causing putrefying bacteria in the gut. When you have a sugary dessert, that causes fermentation. That ups the fermented sugar and causes yeast overgrowth, or what we call candida, leading to candidiasis. And when you have highly processed foods that are dense in calories, that causes, especially dairy products like a cheese, that causes a slowing down of the entire digestive process. It's like a traffic cop that brings the traffic from 65 to 5 miles an hour every time you have that. Well, now think of the combinations now. In order to get your business, they no longer offer you a hamburger or bacon. They have to give you bacon and a hamburger and cheese and a double hamburger and double cheese and sausage. They just put everything possible to get you to come to their place for $2 or $3 to buy their meal. Now, because people are conditioned to buy things that suspend common sense and reason, they're always kicking this can down the road. And we're angry at politicians for doing this on important policies like let's de-ghettoize America. That would put 5 million people back to work. That would reduce crime, gang membership, unwanted pregnancies, abused children. Think of all the different great things that de-ghettoization would do. And it'd be easy to do. Give 2-to-1 tax write-off to the corporate America. You would have more money given to a nonprofit foundation in each community because you have to decentralize to make it work. And then you go in and you rehabilitate those communities with the services they need, the educational services, the counseling services, the child care services, the sustainable projects, bringing culture, developmental skills, trade skills to the community where they are participating. That is not an impossible program. We did the Marshall Program. If we could completely rebuild Germany and much of Italy, you bet that we could rebuild inner-city America, and especially if you give a 2-to-1 tax write-off. So every dollar that a corporation gives, they get to deduct 2. Now, why is that important? Because they're not paying taxes to begin with. Their average is under about 13%. That also is one of the reasons why we should have one federal income tax. And it shouldn't be on income. It's just one federal tax for everybody. And then the rest of it should be state sales taxes. Increase your sales taxes so you have higher sales taxes on luxury items. And if you want the big things, the big ticket items, you pay more for it. This way, nobody could get out of it. And by the way, I was doing the math on this the other day, just as a sidebar here. And I looked at the ways that we could save about $2 trillion a year, lower our taxes, and stimulate 15 million jobs by creating them at the local level, at a living wage. And I put all this up on my website. It's there. It's a holistic, sustainable protocol for our society. We sent it out to about 20 of the world's leading economists, people you've heard on the show before, and just asked for their input. You know, so I'll show you how easy it would be. Right now, corporate American rich individuals are keeping about $23 trillion in offshore bank accounts. Charge them one time only 15%, let them bring it back in, and forgiveness on anything else, an amnesty program. Well, gee whiz, now you're up to about $2 trillion. That's a nice amount of money to have. Then if you made every single corporation pay one flat tax and get rid of all the other taxes and bring it down, A, they save money, B, you can eliminate the IRS, and that would be between what you save on the IRS and what you also keep from having people avoid with a 56,000-page tax code that is impossible, unless you're rich, in which case then you don't pay taxes or your fair share. That would give us an additional $1 trillion a year. Then put a 5% tax on all algorithm trades, which are about 72% of all trades are done by computer. Well, that would bring in over $1.3 trillion. Then you bring it down to where the states can then increase their sales taxes. Well, now everybody is paying less taxes, but everybody's paying taxes. And you've just made $3 trillion. That's just right off the bat. And then I go through each of the different ways that we can stimulate each state and local economy, put people back to work at a living wage. Simple. You don't have to be connected to any economic model to understand how easy our solutions are. We just don't want to do it. Or some people don't want to do it. In any case, back to the issue at hand. So I'm looking at the fact that we have to clean up our diet. We have to start understanding that what we put in our body makes a difference. And if you're one of those people who are smarter than the choices you make, then don't complain on the other end of that equation. When you finally have a tipping, and it is inevitable you will have a tipping, it's just you don't know when and what the extent will be. I counseled prisoners in the New Jersey prison system, upstate New York prisons, and out in the Queens House of Detention. It was just a public service I did to try to help those who are incarcerated. And because I believe they should be given a second chance and let them show that they've learned their lesson. In any case, when I found something interesting when I was talking with them one-on-one. How many crimes did you commit before you were caught? And in almost 90% of the people would say, "Oh, I got away with a lot of it." You know, give me an example. And one guy said, "Well, he had committed at least a dozen robberies before he was caught." How did you feel when you got away with it? Well, it felt good. You know, bragging about it and celebrating in your own way that you got away with a crime. Yeah. How do you feel when you get caught? I felt like a victim. Felt stupid, helpless. So as long as you succeeded in your crime, your perception of yourself was that of a smart guy. When you got caught, you were suddenly a victim of the system. You weren't breastfed enough as a baby, possibly. So understand, when you're making wrong choices, whatever they are, it's not will you pay for it in this lifetime, it's when and to what degree. So that hamburger, that pizza, it's going to cost you. You just don't know when. And sit in my office for 48 hours and see how many people come through the door who are just amazed at why they're sick today. Now we have a lot of people. Millions of Americans suffer from Alzheimer's, tens of millions suffering from dementia or memory loss. And here's how it goes. You go through memory loss, then dementia, beginning dementia, then advanced dementia, then beginning Alzheimer's and advanced Alzheimer's. So it generally starts in our 40s, and then it just gets worse. How many people are we talking about? Almost one-third of the entire American population. That's a big number. Big number. Who's going to take care of them? How are they going to pay for it? Who's going to pay for it? What are you going to do with them? There's no effective treatments today in the orthodox model. How about 95 million Americans are looking at this? So anything that we can do to slow this down and reverse it, we should pay attention to. I'll be starting a very comprehensive program just for Alzheimer's, nothing else, in January. If you know someone who would like to be a part of that, they have to be in treatment now. They have to have a diagnosis from a medical doctor, and you need to send a complete detailed history of what their, when they were diagnosed, what their stage of condition is, what their symptoms are, what medications there are. Send it to Gary Knoll, 2307 Broadway, New York, New York, 10024. We'll be selecting the people, and then I'll announce when the study commences. And it's free. I'm doing it as public service. And it's not a medical protocol. It is a lifestyle and behavior modification protocol. And I believe that with a large enough group of people, if we're able to improve their lives over a 12-month period, this can be shared throughout the world, certainly at scientific conferences, because I'm invited all the time based upon the clinical studies I do. I've done two this year with outstanding results to give this information. And you can bet that I would be all over the scientific world sharing this with people, motivating them to turn this into a usable paradigm. In any case, here's the latest for Alzheimer's. This is from the Spanish Foundation for Science and Technology and in Barcelona, and here's what it says. The combination, quote, of two neuroprotective therapies, voluntary physical exercise, and the daily intake of melatonin has been shown to have a synergistic effect on brain aging in with three different mutations of the Alzheimer's disease in this study. This is also done in the collaboration University of Granada and the Autonomous University of Barcelona. So they're saying melatonin, this was published in Neurobiology of Aging, the peer-reviewed journal. That's just one nutrient. If one single nutrient, melatonin, can make a difference with some exercise, imagine what all the other antioxidants and neuroprotective nutrients could do. So it's good to see that they're at least acknowledging this. And also, dark chocolate relieves stress and lowers blood pressure. Now, this is good because it's not a lot of chocolate. It's only 1.5 ounces. And this was published in the Journal of Proteome Research, and it found that 1.4 ounces of dark chocolate daily for a period of 2 weeks reduce the levels of stress hormone cortisol and catecholamines, the fight-or-flight hormones. The authors conclude, quote, this study provides strong evidence that a daily consumption of 40 grams, that's 1.4 ounces, of dark chocolate during a period of 2 weeks is sufficient to modify the metabolism of healthy human subjects. That's good. By the way, another study published in the European Heart Journal followed 20,000 Germans for 10 years and found that those that ate the most chocolate, it's about 7 grams a day, And that's a small amount, by the way. That's only a quarter of an ounce. That's like a tiny amount. That could fit on the end of your pinky finger. They had 85 fewer heart attacks and strokes per 10,000, and that was good. So they're saying dark chocolate is good for lowering blood pressure. Quote, chocolate consumption would lower the risk of strokes and heart attacks, and that is, in fact, what the study found. So what if they up the amount of chocolate from a tiny little quarter of an ounce to 2 ounces? And for those of you getting some of your protein shakes and some of your cruciferous shakes, you're getting more than that. That's good. And finally, from the British Medical Journal, is this: doctors' gut feeling should not be ignored. Clinicians' gut feeling about serious infections in children. Quote, doctors who experience a gut feeling about serious illness when treating a child in primary care should take action upon this feeling and not ignore it. Serious infection can easily be missed in young children, and making a diagnosis has been described as, quote, like finding a needle in a haystack. A clinician's intuitive feeling that something is wrong, even after examination that suggests otherwise, appears to have diagnostic value, even greater diagnostic value than most symptoms and signs. Studies have suggested it should be seen as highly important in its own right, but there's a lack of understanding about whether it can be seen as useful. And this was done at Oxford University, where they looked at almost 4,000 children. So if the doctor felt something was wrong, that feeling, that intuition, should be acted upon. I'm Gary Noll. That's the latest on health and healing. We're going to take a short break and come back with our guest. Please stay with us.
You ought to see my baby walking down the avenue. All in all with me, it's a beautiful sight to see. You ought to hear my loving baby.
Nice to have you with us, everyone. I'm Gary Noll. Let's go over to Iceland right now, to the capital, and say hello to our guest who's standing by. She is a member of Iceland's parliament, representing the Progressive Party movement, formerly known as the Citizens Movement, which she co-founded. She serves on the Parliamentary Environmental and Foreign Affairs Committees, and the movement's platform is to make Iceland an international model for free press and to promote sustainability of her nation's ecology and environment. She is Birgitta, a John's daughter. Nice to have you with us today.
Very happy to be with you.
Now, we have two reports that just came in. First, the happy report, or the good report, from Chris Hedges, that there had been a temporary stay by U.S. District Judge Catherine Forrest in your and Chris's lawsuit against the President of the United States for his National Defense Authorization Act. But then I just found out that an appeals court judge reinstated indefinite detention for now, and that's on the 225th anniversary of the signing of the final draft of the Constitution. It was a one-page order. A lone appeals court judge effectively repealed many of that document's fundamental protections of individual liberties. So give us some background first for those in this audience who may not be aware of why we're all concerned about the legality and the ethics and the morality of the National Defense Authorization Act that this president was the author of. And as a constitutional lawyer, unlike President Bush before him, this man knew what he was doing and its consequences, and yet the left, especially the corporate left, have virtually agreed with him and have not fought him on this. You have. Tell us what this act will do, why you're opposed to it, and what this setback means.
Yeah, this is something that I think, unfortunately, most Americans are not aware of because the mainstream media has completely blacked out any news about this, despite pleas from people like Chomsky, Daniel Ellsberg, Chris Hedges, and many more, and Naomi Wolf, to name a few, to actually report what this means. The NTA is actually an old law that got an addition to it around last New Year's Eve when laws are passed with great hurry through Parliament, in your Parliament. And the addition means that the U.S. military now has the authorization to arrest anybody, anywhere, on the suspicion of terrorism, without you having access or the right to be brought forward to in front of a court or access to lawyer, and you can actually be kept in detention for the rest of your remaining days without anybody actually knowing. And of course, this is a part of the erosion of the civil rights that Americans have fought so hard to make as a foundation for your society.
All right. Where do you go now? What's the next move? And have you tried to get on national television to debate the president's apologist of why we needed this and what it means for a person to have that kind of power where the president of the United States, at his choice, can deem any human being on the planet a threat based upon information that we will never know from advisors and people we have no knowledge of, so we have no, there is no transparency in how this decision is made. All we know is they can kill you anytime, any place, at their choosing with no legal repercussions. This is as bad as Orwell. Your thoughts, please.
Yes, this is certainly going into the direction of the Orwellian state. I am very concerned about the fact that the mainstream media is not picking this news, and I know that the people presenting this case have been trying very hard in the United States. I have not been contacted by any mainstream media, and I know that they tried very hard, the rest of the plaintiffs that live in the United States. So I think that people need to just try to use the alternative media to spread the news, but unfortunately most Americans are oblivious to this fact. And it is very disturbing that the, you know, the alternative that many people looked at as a person that would actually change the way the United States have been moving forward in our world, and, you know, probably one of the reasons why he won the Nobel Peace Prize before actually doing anything. And he certainly has not shown the rest of the world or your nation that he deserves this award, and it's actually made the award lose its meaning to a lot of people that used to respect it. I am deeply concerned that that this is not the only thing that he is disappointed people have fought for freedom of information and expression. Of course, no other president has come as hard down on whistleblowers as President Obama. And I think also people need to be aware of the development, like with the drone program and so forth, where, you know, 130 children have been killed by unmanned aircraft in Pakistan in the last year. So this just seems to be a development that is bringing the United States from being the land of the free to more in the liking of the Chinese regime and situation, where oppression against anybody that voices concerns is the norm instead of the abnorm.
I appreciate that insight. I just have two more thoughts, if you would, please. Just yesterday, the United States, the White House, the State Department, designated WikiLeaks, quote, enemy of the state status. This is from the Common Dream staff. Quote, military documents obtained through a Freedom of Information Act request and posted online by WikiLeaks show that the U.S. government has designated the whistleblower website and its founder, Julian Assange, as enemies of the state. That's the same legal category as al-Qaeda and other foreign military adversaries. The documents, some originally classified, secret, not released, show a probe by the Air Force's Office of Special Investigations into a cyber system based analyst based in Britain who allegedly expressed support for WikiLeaks and just attended a meeting, a demonstration outside. Now, let me just put that in lay language. People understand. An individual in their own time went to a demonstration in support of Julian Assange, and now he is being specially investigated. The counterintelligence investigation focused on whether the analyst, who had a top-secret security clearance and accessed U.S. military secret internet protocol router network, had disclosed classified or sensitive information to WikiLeaks supporters. And so this is how it's going. Now, that's one thing. Here is the other. This just came in. This is from Michael Kelly, and it says, hacked Stratfor emails, the DEA told to back off from the brother of Afghan President Haman Karzai. It's just one sentence. It says, newly released internal emails from the U.S. private security firm Stratfor state that the Bush administration and CIA ordered the Drug Enforcement Agency to back off a major drug trafficking investigation of Afghan President Hamid Karzai's half-brother. Now, we broke it on this show that President Karzai had aligned himself with warlords who are also the number one drug traffickers in Afghanistan, and that his half-brother was kind of the overseer of all the drug trade. Massive corruption. So instead of telling us the truth about where our billions of dollars go when it go to Afghanistan, to the powerful, rich, and all corrupt, instead they go after the person that leaked the email, WikiLeaks. The same thing is true when genetically modified crops were being forced through Hillary Clinton and the State Department to be used, or otherwise there be strong repercussions if a country did not accept our genetically engineered food. Hence, Hillary Clinton was shilling for Monsanto and all the other lackeys over at the State Department during the same. WikiLeaks exposed that. So now the person who tells us of the crimes and misadventures of federal agencies becomes a terrorist instead of a hero. Your thoughts on this? I'm interested in your comments now.
I think it is very important that people remember that the only way to keep a government honest is that that government is actually afraid of its people and honors that they are there to serve the people at all times. And this seems to have been a trend to forget this with people that are in service, like you know, senators and presidents, and the entire bureaucratic body is now in full mode in defending itself and all the secrets it's accumulated, and you know, secrets that should actually be in the open. How can a nation actually elect the right people to look after their interests if you don't know what they're up to? And, you know, there's a whole sort of, there could be like a whole many shows on, like, for example, how Monsanto has gained access to the revolving door and actually put ordinary citizens at great risk for the experiments they're doing on the general public in the United States and everywhere in the world, actually. The problem you are facing in the United States is that you are going very quickly into a what many people define as a fascist state. And Mussolini defined fascism very clearly. He said he defined fascism as the perfect marriage between the corporate and the state. And
we've had that for 20 years. We've
yes,
had fascism
and,
acting
so
out.
How are you going to turn it around?
You can't. Here's the good news, bad news from my perspective. In our society, you're not going to get people revolting because, A, there's too many interesting things on television, and who wants to revolt when you've got a big pizza from Papa John coming, and you got your bud, and you got your Mac, and you got your fries, and you got your remote, and you got your flats. Why in the hell go out and revolt and miss the play of the day? So in Spain, in Greece, in Cairo, you will have people who are angry enough and poor enough to do something, but they're also educated enough. We have gotten ourselves so lazy, we're like the frogs with the water being boiled in the pot. We don't realize it because we're distracted. Your final thoughts, please.
Well, I think that, obviously there is not going to, be a revolution in the States, but I actually do see some hope through courageous people that have been bringing forward information to the general public, like many of the people of WikiLeaks, inspired by WikiLeaks. There are many incredible activists in your country, I'm pleading to the general public, anybody that hears this, support the people that are standing up for truth, that have the courage to show you that the only way you're going to get through it is actually to stop this mindless consumerism and self-centeredness. Unfortunately, only 10% of the world care more for others than themselves. Now, we're going to have to change that. I don't know how.
It's not going to change. Here's what will happen, however. Those who do not want to be informed will stay ignorant and pay a price. And those who do want to be informed and motivated by yourself and Daniel Ellsberg and Chris Hedges and Noam Chomsky and all the other activists and progressive whistleblowers, they will begin to detach themselves completely from the political and ideological grids and start to form groups to write articles, do documentaries, to do protest. And when two or three or four of them are arrested, one or two of them are disappeared, when that becomes so great a scandal, and at the same time the government with all of its promises begins to self-implode, and the wealthy start implementing martial law, then and only then will someone wake up and say, what the hell just happened? And then maybe some people start looking at a more sustainable way of throwing all the people in office out and starting all over again with no money in politics, no bought elections, no Koch brothers or George Soros, no foundations or lobbyists controlling the laws. Get rid of most of the laws, get rid of what we have in place, and start over and do a real constitutional republic as we were meant to have. That's possible, but we're going to have to break down before we have a breakthrough. That's the bad news. Thank you very much. I appreciate you, what you're doing over there. At least you all have got it right. You rejected the International Monetary Fund and the Central Bank of Europe, the European Central Bank's demand for repayment of loans, which would put you at almost 800% in debt. There would not be a single person alive in Iceland that would have lived long enough to pay off the debt and the usurious rates. You just told them, no, thank you, and you're surviving, and you're growing back. So you have a model that works that no one is going to look at because it would terrify people to know that you don't have to put the bankers first. You can put the people first. And that's what you have done, Brigida. And we thank you for your efforts.
An encouragement and inspiration for others to demand the same from the governments. I just encourage people to not lose faith to know that there are actually, even if we are like the mouse at Ward, we're not very big, we at least showed that we can be defiant against the demands of socializing private debt. Use us as inspiration, please.
We will, and we thank you very much for being on with us today from Iceland. My guest from Iceland today to give us an update on the lawsuit against the Obama administration over the National Defense Authorization Act and is Brigida Jonsdottir. That's Jonsdottir. And she has a website, this.is/Brigida/. I'm Gary Noll, back in a moment. Please stay with us. Still to come, we're going to talk about the latest on environment, the Arctic snow loss. What's it going to do to us? It's going to do something, and I'll tell you what it is. And also, I'm going to give you 21 facts about America's infrastructure that will, well, it'll blow your mind. I'll share some insights with Economic Clack's blog, and also Romney in final push to alienate remaining voters, quote from Andy Bort's report. With just 36 days to go until the election, Mitt Romney is in a race against time to offend the few voters he has not already alienated, his campaign manager said today. Quote, so far, Mitt's efforts to make voters dislike him have gone exactly as planned, said the campaign manager, Matt Rhodes. But let's not kid ourselves. We've still got a few supporters out there, and we've got to find ways to piss them off. End quote. Well, Mr. Romney embarked on a bus tour with the goal of spreading additional unease about his candidacy. His campaign manager reflected on a program of systemic alienation that has so far, quote, worked like clockwork. We really got the ball rolling at the Olympics. I seriously doubted that Mitt could turn a visit to London into a show of international ineptitude, but he was like, Matt, trust me, I can do this. Mr. Rose also credited the addition of Representative Paul Ryan to the ticket for being, quote, invaluable in scaring off potential voters. Quote, Mitt knew he'd get booed off the stage at the NAACP, but it takes someone special to get booed off the stage at the AARP. The campaign manager acknowledged that there are, quote, a few hiccups in the plan to turn off voters, but the Romney team worked quickly to fix them. At the convention in Tampa, Clint Eastwood was planning to go out and read a prepared speech endorsing Mitt. I pulled him aside and said, Clint, that will ruin everything that we're trying to do here. Just shout at a chair instead. And he did. The secret video showing Mr. Romney at a fundraiser was another coup for the campaign. Mr. Rose said, quote, we actually shot that video ourselves and then leaked it to Mother Jones. It was the simplest way we could think of to take 47% of the votes off the table. Mr. Rose admitted that he is gratified how well the campaign plan to offend different constituency has worked so far. But with only 6 weeks to go until the election, they are leaving nothing to chance. Quote, this week we're releasing a video of Mitt swinging a cat by its tail. End quote. Good. I'm Gary Noll. We're going to take your calls now on our talkback segment at 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Now, once a week, and today is that day, I take just 3 minutes and offer you a special that all the funds go to the Progressive Radio Network. And if you noticed, unlike NPR and PBS and Pacifica that raise funds all the time, we don't. No one has ever had to use 1 second of their airtime to raise funds. We do it just once a week for 3 minutes. That formula works. Here's what we've got for you today. This is phenomenal. And we can thank Mila and the staff for this. The new and improved Power Berry Blast. You buy one, you're going to get two free Sea Veggie Caps bottles. That's a big supply. Now, what are you really getting here? You're saving $106. This is one of the biggest savings ever. You're way below the cost of just a Power Berry Blast by itself, and you're getting two $33 bottles of Sea Veggie Caps, one of our more popular items, for free today. Why buy the Power Berry Blast? Well, because it's raw, organic, all natural, 22 fruits and berries, 15,000 ORAC, which are protective antioxidants. What do you got in there? Well, elderberry, noni berry, black cherries, black raspberries, blueberry leaf extract, camus, black currant, pineapple, guava, raspberry seed extract, grape seed extract, aronia, bilberry extract, quercetin, acai, cranberries, goji, red raspberry, strawberries, and blueberry extract at big doses. So what a way to start the day when you're flooding your body with powerful phytonutrients and chlorophyll from this berry blast. Low calories, low glycemic index, great for you, raw. This is the ultimate thing to put in a juice. I carry this with me everywhere I travel. Power Berry Blast, the power of nature. Wonderful. Now, here's what you're getting. So you're getting that as a discount to begin with, but you're also getting this for free. Two bottles. I'm a big believer we're not getting our sea vegetables. Well, just ask yourself. Be honest. When was the last time you went out and bought a sea vegetable? And if you did, which one? So to help you get the nutrients, the minerals that you need from the sea, I put the best sea vegetables into one simple vegan capsule. In fact, get this, taking three capsules a day is equal to consuming 50 pounds of fresh sea vegetables annually. That's right. I'm giving you Atlantic kelp, dulse, nori, sea lettuce, wakame, kombu, sea palm, bladderwrack, and grapestone. All those different sea vegetables in one vegan capsule, and you're getting two bottles of it. All right? Two bottles. So that's what you're getting. Great deal for you. All right? You're getting two bottles of sea vegetables. That's a two-month supply plus the Power Berry Blast. Here is the number that you dial to get this. All right? So write this number down. Call it because this is a limited offer. It is 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065 for the Power Berry Blast that everyone should be taking every day, and especially if you go out for an exercise, especially if you're fatigued, especially if you're overweight, especially if you're in pain. And then you get the sea vegetables, and that's especially important for women. Call 877-627-5065. You're going to save $106. How about that for a special? I'm Gary Knoll. Nice to have you with us today. Let's say hello to Tim from New Jersey. Hi, Tim. Your turn. Tim, you're on the air.
Can you hear me?
Sure can.
Okay, good. I called the White House commentary line a couple days ago and to ask if she would relay a message to urge that the surge protectors be put on the transformers for the electrical grid and get the extra year worth of backup fuel, diesel fuel. And the woman who answered was completely oblivious to everything I was telling her. I don't know if it's the general status of most Americans, but if everybody could call in, maybe it'll make a difference. You know, I think if they don't do something at this point...
Don't have them call the White House. That's worthless. They don't do a damn thing right on any issue there. Call your state legislator. Call your senator and call your House member and say, we are aware NASA, the National Geographic, all the major Science Digest, all the major magazines have published articles, cover stories showing the potential danger of the solar storms coming over the next 6 to 12 months. We're interested in seeing that our public utilities are forced to put large enough surge protectors to protect the utilities and the grid. Secondarily, to protect the nuclear power facility special surge protectors. Thirdly, to have 1 year's worth of backup fuel to run the power at the nuclear facilities. That's what you should be asking. And you can use my article, which is always updated, as a reference. All the best to you, Tim. And thank you for being conscious enough to call and the White House. But it's the wrong place to call. You got to call your state representatives. Let's say hello to Jason, who's in studio. Hi, Jason.
Good afternoon, Gary. How are you?
Doing great, thank you.
Great. Ever since last month, we started our new schedule where we're doing different strips every day. I've been looking over our analytics and realized that congratulations. Your show is the number one progressive radio show that is out there right now. And I just thought it was great to let you know and let your fans know and thank them for continuing to support you and to continue to support you.
Well, we're very appreciative when thousands upon thousands of young people every single day, 7 days a week, come to the Progressive Radio Network and come to this show and the other shows. And because they're coming for the articles, dozens of articles every day are put. You even had hired someone to work every night, didn't you, to put the articles overnight?
Yes, sir.
And so we're up to date. And these are progressive articles. These are not the stuff you're going to see on the Huffington Post, these other blogs.
Correct.
And also our guest. Also, we're going to start a new documentary program, a progressive documentary hour. And by the way, I'm looking for someone to help with the producing of that. So they should call you. Give them your number.
Sure. 646-926-5428.
Good. So thank you, Jason.
Thank
and all
you.
The good, all the other hosts and producers at the Progressive Radio Network. We're going to be having a whole new roster of people coming at our way as well. And let's go over and say hello to Luann. By the way, just a quick comment. I speak with all the different staff that help free of charge to counsel people on different aspects of their health and lifestyle choices. And there are four of them that I've hired. I'm going to hire another one. So if you know someone who is qualified, they could be, if they have a nutrition background, they must be a registered dietitian and licensed, or they can be a PhD in psychology to help people at the emotional level. Have them call me. I pay a very good salary so they can help people for free. It's just we have more people asking for help than they can even get them help now. So my suggestion is people just walk in the office any day between 11 and 7. 7 days a week there's someone there because when people are calling, they weren't showing up. And then people were not doing anything, and then so they found that people just coming in is better. And the place you go is 89th and Broadway. It's on the corner. And just go in, and there'll be someone there who can help you. And if you know someone who would like a paying job, being one of those people who help, all you have to do is give a call and let Jason take the people's names and information, and you'll send your bio over, and I'll read it myself, interview the people, and find the best person to help people with all kinds of problems. Mind you, none of these are medical doctors. They're not offering medical advice. They're offering lifestyle, dietary, and behavior information that can help and have. We've helped tens of thousands of people. You ought to see the people say the best things about Larry and Nadia. Helps so many people. I mean, really change their life around. So what's the number? It's 646-926-5422. 646-926-5422. Let's say hello to Luann Panessi. Hi, Luann.
Hello, Gary. I have a very interesting letter here from one of your KPFK listeners in Los Angeles. And he said that he's heard that our government and one of its bureaucracies want to actually spend millions of taxpayer dollars to build a museum and a national park to honor the bombs that were dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And he says, why would we even contemplate honoring bombs that killed so many people? He says, you're one of the few people on the station that has suggested repeatedly that every government bureaucracy should have transparency with citizen input and oversight and should be brought down to a scale where they actually function to serve the public. And he says, I agree with you. He says, but neither the right or the left are willing to address these issues. And he's saying, why not? He says, I just retired after a 30-year career in the military, and I can attest to the massive amount of waste and bureaucratic idiocy that has existed on every level in the chain of command. He said the world would be outraged if they knew how their taxpayer money was being spent. Your thoughts?
Well, he's raised several points here, and I'll just take on a few of them because we don't have enough time to take them all on. First and foremost, he's absolutely right. I think it would be absolutely deplorable to put a museum or anything that actually honors the two bombs that were used over Nagasaki and Hiroshima. first understand the consequences. They killed over 200,000 people instantly and 100,000 shortly thereafter. But the legacy of radiation impacting them and generations thereafter was substantial. I have interviewed and worked with Dr. Ernest Sternsglass and Dr. Jay Gould, who were fully aware and did research on the long-term effects of the bombing there. Separately, the argument that you hear on the right so often is that, you know, well, it's saved American lives, it shortened the war. That is an out-and-out lie. All of the actual scholarly information, including a letter that was written by General Eisenhower at the time, who was the top commander of all forces, of all armies in Germany, when he was approached by the Secretary of War, Stanton, that they had the bomb, they were going to drop it and ask his opinion. He says, no, you shouldn't. It's something that shouldn't be done. We're winning. They've already secretly asked for surrender. They're just trying to find out how to surrender and save face with their own people. He says, they're gone. They're over. It's over. Douglas MacArthur wasn't even asked about his opinion. And mind you, he was Supreme Commander in the Pacific. And he said that they were defeated. They were seeking surrender. And they had no air force. Then there was Chester Nibbets, who was the admiral and chief of the Pacific. He was the top naval commander in the Pacific. And he said they were defeated. They had no air force. They had no way of protecting themselves. And we were bombing them and they're on a daily basis. It was just a matter of 1 or 2 weeks maximum. Then when the Russians decided to enter against Japan, the whole effort would be over in 2 weeks. And then you had Major General Curtis LeMay, who was he was the top general at that time. And we also had Admiral LeMay, who is the top admiral in the Pacific, Curtis LeMay, who was a top guy in the Pentagon, and also Leahy, Admiral Leahy, was the personal assistant to the President of the United States, Truman, and he said we didn't need the bomb. So all the top military experts, all of them, Eisenhower, MacArthur, Nibbets, LeMay, Curtis LeMay, Leahy, all said the same thing. There was no need for to bombing this. So then why did we bomb them? Take away the fog of war, and the only reason we bombed them was to send a message to the Russians that this is what we're capable of doing. Now, think about what you're going to do, and then be aware we dropped the bomb. So in point of fact, no other nation has ever used the nuclear bomb. We are the ones who use weapons of mass destruction. And I just think that August 1945 bombing was a national disgrace. That shows you what happens when neocons and ideologues run an administrative policy. Hope that answers the question. As to their idea, all bureaucracies today are bloated, inefficient, non-transparent, and should be completely audited and bring them down to the size that they're actually serving the American public. And that would probably mean reducing all budgets by about 50%. That would save an additional $500 billion a year, because now all they do, they serve themselves. They get bigger, their budgets get bigger, they hire more people, they do more things, and this does not make us a better country, doesn't help the average person. And the Democrats and Republicans both are wrong on their approaches. The Republicans say, well, you know, get rid of all these bureaucracies and rules. No, there are bureaucracies we actually need with some rules we need. And the Democrats are equally as culpable. They're saying, well, hire more people. Well, why hire people from the federal level when we could be empowering small businesses that could rebuild local infrastructure, rebuild local communities, and that's who we should be empowering, and we're not. And so that's the mistake we're making. I'm Gary Noll. I want to thank you all for listening today. I look forward to sharing more on our next program on Sunday night, 8 p.m., the Talkback Hour. Now stay tuned for Utrice Lead, who always has something interesting to share with us. Back in a moment.